Well, brothers and sisters, I do hope that as we've been studying Abraham together, that you'll be coming to see there's so much more to Abraham and his life in the scriptures than you might have thought. And this morning, what I hope we're going to look at is the story of Abraham is more even than the story of one man's faith in God, and more than the role he was given to play, a special role in the plan of salvation. But the story of Abraham is the story of God revealing his life out of death power. That at the very heart of Abraham's life and what God did with him is God was revealing his life out of death power. See, our passage this morning is about the momentous event, the birth of Isaac. And so this is the moment Abraham had been waiting decades for. This is the moment we've been waiting for as we've been journeying with him. At last, the promises start to be fulfilled. And Abraham and Sarah are blessed with a child, just as God promised. I don't know if you noticed how many times in those seven verses it reminded us, just as God said. God always keeps his promises. And so now here he is. This is the special child through whom God is going to create a nation, his own holy set apart people, Israel, and for the purpose that through them, the seed will come, who will save us all, who will save the world. Through them, the Lord Jesus Christ will come. So this is a massive moment in salvation history. And I just want us to consider together this morning the significance of Isaac's birth. There's a really profound meaning to Isaac's birth. Why God brought it about the way that he did, when he did. Because Isaac is a miracle baby. He is a life out of death baby. We do say often, don't we, about every baby, it's a miracle. Every baby is a miracle. You know, every new life is a gift from God and formed by him in a mother's womb. But Isaac's birth is a miracle in the true sense of the word. It's an impossible, supernatural act of God. His birth is something that transcends the natural order of things. This was an act of God that goes above and beyond the laws of creation. As it says in verse 5, Abraham was 100 years old when Isaac was born. So as you heard it say in Romans chapter 4, Abraham's body was as good as dead. And Sarah, his wife, is not far behind. The Bible says that her womb was dead. Now remember what Genesis has told us. Even when she was a young lady, she was unable to conceive a child. Some kind of health difficulty. And now, though, she's way beyond the age when childbirth is possible. But it is by the power of God, by God's promise, Isaac is conceived and is born out of this dead womb, from their dead bodies. He's a miracle. He's life out of death. Now that is impossible is the point. This is why God waited so long to give them a child. The Lord waited until it was physically impossible beyond any doubt. That was his design all along, so that the child would have to be a miracle. Now think about this. This is this great turning point in the history of salvation. At this crucial moment, the Lord is setting down a marker. He's setting down the mold. His way of saving the world is a life out of death way. That's the pattern that he's establishing. Isaac is a living symbol. He himself is a symbol of God's life-giving power. Now, that's the great significance of Isaac's birth. You could call it even a resurrection birth. Life out of death. Let me break that down into three thoughts to try and help us follow it. Three things that the Lord reveals through Isaac's birth. First, who he is, who God is in his great glory. Secondly, he reveals who his people are. He reveals what his church is. And then third, he reveals what we must do to be saved. What must we do to be saved? All of this is revealed through Isaac. So the first thing, of course, is the Lord reveals who he is. It is the glory of the Lord that he alone has life out of death power. By that phrase that I keep using, life out of death power, I mean creative power. Power to renew and revive. Power to bring something out of nothing. Good out of evil. Light out of darkness. Life out of death. When we talk about God's power, we're not just saying he's got the power to do incredible things. We're saying he's got the power to do impossible things. Above and beyond what we can conceive. Above all that we might know from this world. See, God's power, it's not just that he can manipulate things in extraordinary ways and change things like parting the Red Sea or sending plagues on Egypt. That's but the outer edges of his power. His power is infinitely, immeasurably greater than what we can imagine. He brings impossible things out of their opposites. Nothing is too hard for the Lord. Nothing. In the beginning, the Lord created the heavens and the earth, all things visible and invisible. And he created everything out of nothing. He spoke everything into being, called it into existence. I mean, there was nothing. We can't even imagine nothing. Because if you imagine it's like some black, empty hole or something, that in itself is still something. We can't even conceive what nothing is like. But out of nothingness, with his life out of death power, God created all things. And not having to use something else or rely on something else, it was entirely out of himself that he was able to do this. The stars, the planets, the heavens. I mean, if you could sum up the last 100 years of what we've learned in science, everything keeps getting bigger. The universe is so much bigger than we thought. He brought it out of nothing. Again, you heard in Romans 4, he gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. What does that really mean? It's saying he calls what does not exist into existence. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, he is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness. How does that work? Light out of darkness. Impossible things out of their opposites. That's God's power. So creation's a demonstration of that. Again, when we speak about, you know, when you and I try to create something, piece of art, build a building, we're not really creating it out of nothing. We're changing and manipulating the materials already there. But when God created, it's literally out of nothing. Perhaps you've heard the old joke of the atheist scientist who was having a conversation with God, and he says, well, yeah, given enough time and enough, you know, scientific materials and genius, I bet you we could create a flower. And God says, get your own dirt. It is infinite, awesome power with God. Think about him creating us. He takes the dirt, the dust of the ground, lifeless, it's nothing. And he breathed into it, and man became a living being. Made us out of nothing. Think about the miracles of the Lord Jesus, because this is one of the special, unique things about the Lord when he was here on earth. So many of his miracles were life out of death miracles. Creative out of nothing power. He calls Lazarus out of the tomb. He makes blind eyes see. Paralyzed limbs work. Deaf ears open. He raises Jairus' dead little girl with a word. And on the third day, he rose from the grave. And all those miracles, if we're thinking biblically, they show us without a doubt who he is. He's the living God. I am the resurrection and the life. So this is the first main thing about the significance of Isaac's birth. It's a display of God's glory. His unique creative power. Now, I think there is a helpful, practical point you can take from that. You might meet lots of people who say they don't believe in miracles. They'll only accept what they can see and verify, what scientific tests can repeat. And the whole idea of a supernatural event, an unrepeatable, impossible thing, it doesn't happen. Well, I think what we need to recognize is what lies behind that unbelief is really they have the wrong idea of who God is. That's the real issue. People who would deny miracles, they've got the wrong understanding about who the Bible says God is. They're really only thinking of a God who is something like us, except a bit bigger and more powerful. You know, kind of on a, you could almost say on a continuous line with us in existence, way down there somewhere, but still somehow continuous with us, but cleverer than us. I mean, that's how the ancient peoples thought about the gods. But once you accept what the Bible says about God, there is no problem at all believing in miracles or understanding why science cannot prove or disprove him, because he acts above and beyond the ways of creation. He's the creator of all things. He's not bound or limited by time or space at all. He's the one who sets it all up in the first place. And there's no difficulty for such an awesome God, a life out of death God. And if someone challenges you about a miracle and says, well, I don't believe in God, what you should say, brothers and sisters, is, what God? What God are you talking about? Which God are you thinking of here? What are you thinking he's like? Because then you tell them, well, I serve the life out of death God. I serve the one who, the only one who can explain the mystery of the universe, how everything's come out of nothing. The one who raised Jesus from the dead. And the one who gives life to us all. And I hope you see why this is the first thing the miracle of Isaac shows us. The glory of God. The only one who can do this. Well, the second important thing to see in his birth is the Lord is revealing who his people are. What his church, his set apart holy people are. They are a life out of death people. All God's people are like Isaac. People who are brought out of death into life by God. In Galatians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul says, Isaac was born of the Spirit. So this miracle comes about by the life-giving power of the Holy Spirit in Sarah's womb. But then Paul goes on to say that all believers, all Christians are born of the Spirit, like Isaac. He's saying that the same life-giving power, the same Spirit has come into our lives, comes to live in us with God's saving power. Christians are those who are brought from death to life by God. The Bible is clear from the first page to the last. That as sinners who've rebelled against God, we are dead. We're dead. That's the starting point. Dead is the word that the Bible uses to describe us without Christ. You could think of Ephesians chapter 2. It says, we're all dead in our trespasses and sins. Romans 5 says, death reigns through sin over us all. What does that mean? We're morally dead. I don't know if anyone's ever told you this horrible truth about yourself. Well, you'll hear it now from God's word. You are corrupt. You are impure. You are capable of wickedness. There is a darkness in you, an emptiness in you. You're morally dead. You don't know right and wrong the way you should. You're dead to God. You're cut off from him because you're guilty and you're unworthy and you're unclean. And please, I'm speaking to each and every single one of you here. If you don't know Jesus Christ, this is who you are. You cannot exist in the presence of holy God or have a relationship with him. And because you are morally dead, you will physically die. You are cut off from the source of life, from God. And bodily death is the consequence of sin. And that will end, that goes on into a never-ending spiritual death. This is what the Bible tells you should be more afraid of than anything else. Fear of an ever-ending spiritual death. Because if you die in your sins, you will forever be cut off from the goodness of God. You will be in a never-ending state of death, of darkness, of horror, of emptiness. But the good news of the gospel is not Jesus Christ is some great teacher, although he is, or that he's a great example, although he is. It's that God in Jesus Christ can raise you up out of death. He can save you and give you new life. As Ephesians chapter 2 goes on to say, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Romans 5, after speaking about the power of death, it says, those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one Jesus Christ. Just as sin has reigned in death, even so grace reigns through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ. What God has done in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus is make a way to bring his life-giving power, his life out of death power, to you, to raise you up so you can live with him. This is what Isaac is a sign of. He's here, right, if you like, at the fountainhead of God, creating this people. He's a symbol of this. Now, this is what the Bible says a Christian really is. And again, I don't want you to be in any doubt. I want you to be really clear on this. A Christian is someone who has been given the Spirit of God. A new life and a new power is placed within them. This life-giving power of Christ. And it transforms everything. You begin a new moral life. He puts a new desire, an impulse in you to please God. You've got to learn. You've got to grow. But he writes his commandments on your heart. Meaning he puts in you a new desire to do what pleases God. And then it starts to bear fruit. A new life of service, of character, of love to others. And it never ends because it will continue. So that even when our mortal bodies perish, this new life continues. And we go on into glory where we are with Christ. And this new life continues because then when he comes again and the kingdom is established, our bodies will be healed and changed by this new life. We will be resurrected as Christ was. And we will never die again. We will live. What is a Christian? A Christian is someone who's been given this gift of new life. That's what Isaac's a living symbol of. It's what it really means to be a Christian. A Christian is not just someone who believes certain things or who comes to church, who tries to follow the teachings of Jesus. A real Christian has been raised by the supernatural power of God. They have new life. Christ lives in them and they live in Christ. And again, today there's a bit of a movement growing to see a return to a kind of culture and society of Christianity in this land. That's a great thing. May that come. But don't be confused. You could even have Christian values in a society. It doesn't make you a Christian. Only this power of Christ saving you from sin. So just as people make a fatal mistake, they think too little of God, people think too little of what it means to be a Christian. Christian, you are a miracle like Isaac. God's raised you up like him. You've been born again. You see, and what people need is they don't need cleaning up or a better education or better culture. What we need is new life that only Christ gives. And thankfully, it's not too late. It's not too late to be saved, to have this gift of life. Because the third thing, the final thing I want to show you, is Isaac's birth shows you what you must do to be saved. What must you do to be given this life? Well, you must believe. You must believe in God's life out of death power. Specifically, you must put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the risen Lord Jesus Christ. If you're willing, please turn with me again to Romans chapter 4. And I want us to understand the argument that Paul makes in this passage that we heard. This is really the key New Testament passage about the birth of Isaac. You see, if you look at me from verse 16 onwards, we're told that Abraham's faith in God was a specific kind of faith. It was a faith in God's life out of death power. Verse 17, he believed in God who gives life to the dead. Verse 19, even though his own body was dead, and Sarah's womb was dead, he believed, verse 21, that God was able, powerful to perform even this. So when we're speaking about Abraham's faith, we're not speaking about some vague, generic belief in God, some undefined trust. It's specifically a faith in his promise, a faith that God would give them a son, a faith that God would bring life out of death. And it's because Abraham had that trust, he was saved. Verse 22, therefore, it was accounted to him for righteousness. So because of this, because of that faith in God's promise, in that power, God saved him. He forgave him all his sin, counted him righteous, and he's given a place in the kingdom of God. Because Abraham believed in God's life out of death power. Now, why is that so essential for us? Because, verse 24, you follow the argument? Verse 24, this is also for us. It shall be imputed to us, we shall be saved, who believe in him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. So God's righteousness, shorthand way of saying salvation, it will be given to us like Abraham when we believe in the same way. When you've got a faith in that life out of death power. Specifically, Jesus raised from the dead. He died for our sins on the cross, and on the third day he rose the conqueror. You must believe this to be saved. Isaac's birth is a miraculous sign pointing you forward to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you see it? And that's the faith you need to be saved, says Paul. Abraham had to believe that God would give him a son out of death. We must believe in God's son raised out of death. It's the same faith. Not a vague belief in God or even believing in creator and judge, but a trust in the God of the Bible and what he's done and this good news of the gospel. That's saving faith. And if you would be saved, if you would have life this morning, that is the only way to come to God and open your heart and say, I believe in Jesus Christ, risen from the dead. For his sake, give me new life. Live in me. If you turn back with me to Genesis 21, I want to conclude with this. In Genesis 21, the passage records there's a beautiful little personal moment. Sarah's reaction to this miracle of God. God has made me laugh, and all who hear will laugh with me. Isaac, of course, the name means laughter. Really, it means joyful, letting it all out laughter, not like a little chuckle. I mean like the kind of laugh when you feel like a weight lifts off you and you feel like you're just full of joy. That's what his name means. And Sarah is speaking more than she knew. All who hear will laugh with me. Since Jesus is raised from the dead, we can truly rejoice. We can be happy. We can laugh. We have hope. We have peace with God. We can laugh like Sarah at the greatness of what God has done. That is astounding. That he's given us new life. We can rejoice in God who brings life out of death. So please, if you're in any doubt, don't leave here this morning without knowing this gift of God. The real significance, the real meaning of Isaac's birth, even centuries earlier, is it's to point us to Christ, to the gift of new life, total transformation, everlasting life that you and I can have through faith in him. And I would call on you with all my heart, believe. Believe in him this morning and live. May God bless his word to your heart. Amen.